Welcome back to another Uncommon Podcast. We shoot a couple of these at a time, and it always has a bit of a break to it. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, since the last one to this one, a whole lot of life has taken place since then.
Yep.
So I'm TJ.
I'm Joshua.
And this is the Uncommon Podcast. And so this week we're talking about the listening husband. Mm. And so we all know someone who you can think of. They can be in a room and hear every word their wife says and still miss what she's really saying.
Right? I mean, there's that joke about my wife told me I never listened to her. What did I just say? And I just think that's such a weird way to start a conversation. I mean, there's a reason that that's a common joke made.
I think it was on Dumb and Dumber. He said, Becky said I don't listen or something she was going on about. I don't know what she was talking about. It's a common thing, obviously. So many husbands don't struggle with hearing. They struggle with listening. So this podcast is maybe a little tune-up into not just listening but hearing.
Yeah, because even with the greatest intentions, you can find yourself slipping back. And,
sure.
You know, over time, you're like, oh, I listen maybe only 80% of what my wife says or 50% or whatever. So right. It's good to sometimes take those mental pauses of like, okay, am I actually listening to my wife or am I just tuning her out while I watch the game or something like that?
Right. And, you know, men tend to be those, you know, like, well, you start hearing that. You're like, well, let's just fix it. Let's do it now. Mm. And women are like, I don't want to fix it. I want you to just vent a little bit kind of thing. And so when you do that a few times, I think guys tend to tune out a little bit. It's like, I've seen this show before.
I've had this rerun.
I'll just wait a little bit. And so next thing you know, you're watching TV and not listening. So we're talking about some better communication skills. So hearing isn't the same as listening. And so, like I said, fixing is not the goal. I fall in that trap too. Mom comes and she starts talking about stuff, and I'm like, well, we just do this kind of thing. And she's like, that's not really what I wanted to get through the story a little bit further, you know. I'm like, okay. And then sometimes I just sit there and wait, like a caged tiger. Just wait. Is it fixing time now? Is it time to fix?
Is it about the builder time?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we do that, then I don't think we share the burden of what that person is going through. We're just trying to fix it at the end. And, you know, sometimes the fix is listening to that part in between. And Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. I always think it's funny when we do a search for something in the Bible. And it'll say something exactly like, whoa, God saw me coming before I even knew I was there.
Yeah.
So, and listening is an act of love. It's not really meant to be a strategy of, well, as soon as she finishes talking, I'll depart my wisdom and fix this really easy problem.
Yeah. Well, and I think a little bit of this is, you know, as men, we tend not to like the idea of emotional burden sharing, right? Like, I want to fix it so I don't have to feel this way anymore.
Sure.
I don't want to have to feel or go through the emotions with you talking through some problem at work or a problem with a friend or whatever. I just want to give you solutions so we can move on and I don't have to dwell on these emotions anymore.
Right.
You know, emotional maturity is a thing that does not happen naturally for many of us. And it's something we have to work at. And, you know, as a husband, when you said the I do's, you signed up to be that venting partner.
Yes. When you said the I do's, this is now the I does, right?
So, yes.
You know, when you think about Christ and his ministry, you know, he listened with his heart. Mm-hmm. I'm sure because he was surrounded by people all the time asking him for things and this and that, he heard all kind of stuff, you know, legitimate requests. Some superficial of, you know, like, well, do this and prove your God, that kind of thing. But in John 11, when Mary and Martha came to Jesus grieving the loss of their brother Lazarus, Jesus didn't correct their theology. He didn't rush the moment. He wept with them.
Yeah.
And in fact, he stayed where he was another 4 days before he even came back to them for a point. But, so Jesus saw her weeping and was deeply moved, and it's John 11:33-35. And, empathy speaks louder than any solution we could give.
Right.
I think whether it is another guy you're talking to, family, friend, coworker, spouse, child, whatever it is, I think empathizing with that person in that situation means as much to them as if you gave them a solution to that problem.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, right, as a huge thing of like showing empathy toward your fellow man, and in this example, your wife, is a great picture of love because you're showing that, yes, while I may be trying to fix it internally, I'm going to sit here with you in this emotion and this burden and take some of that burden off of you. Just because I think we as guys tend to like guard our burdens like a dragon hoards gold, you know? We're like, no, it's my burden. You don't take it from me. I want this.
Right.
So we like have a hard time understanding the idea of like sharing burden.
Sure.
I mean, there's a group of guys I meet with on Wednesdays for our weekly Bible study, and our chapter is about friendship this past week and about, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Mm. You know, God looked at man in the garden, was like, it's bad for him to be alone. He needs somebody.
Right.
And so all these indications that we are designed to be social and, next to each other and help share burden. Yeah, as men, we tend to struggle with that because it shows weakness. It shows, I don't want to rely on someone else. I want to fix it. If I can fix your problem, I can fix my problem kind of thing.
Sure.
And so, we trying to jump that. We want to jump to, I don't really want to work through all the emotional part of this. I just want to jump to, okay, we fixed it. Cool. Ah, relief, that kind of thing.
And then sometimes guys are perfectly content being broken. Mm. Being alone and broken is still broken.
Yeah.
Right. So I have people in my family and friends that emotionally stunted is an understatement. Mm-hmm. They do not tune into that part of their life. They're a bit of a robot, but they're still broken. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to deal with it, so they just don't. They kind of squash that, and they just focus on different parts of their lives. And you get to see that person is, it's like watching someone with a limp. It just, you can see that person is just not rounded in that area. Mm-hmm. And so like their spouse or their family or friends cannot go to them for anything close to that. Mm-hmm. If you depend on that person to do something that they're just not growing in, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I mean, we're called to be, that person for our wives. So, we need to make sure that we take an objective view at ourselves and round ourselves off so we can be that.
Sure.
Because you don't want it to be a scenario where your wife looks at you and goes, well, I can look at him for financial providing, maybe physical protection if we're out and about, but nothing else.
Sure.
Like that should be some warning bells for you. You know, I can't talk to him about emotional problems. I can't talk to him about how, I feel about the future, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Your wife should not feel that she can only give parts of herself to you. It should be that whole thing of like, there should be no aspect of her life that she can't feel like she can take to you fully and be transparent with.
Sure, sure. I've always loved the Orient, right? And I've always been drawn toward, like samurai stuff and that type of thing. And so, the samurai would spend as much time painting or working on poetry as they did with the sword. Mm. Because that developed the other side of them. Mm. And so, we're not always meant to be hammers,
right?
And so stop looking at yourself like that, and no one's going to call you hammer. That's not going to be your nickname. But listening builds trust. And when you can slow down and reflect on what that person you're speaking to is saying, your spouse or whoever, without defending yourself is big, or changing the subject, right? You're showing that what that person's talking about matters, because you can see someone talking about something that you don't want to talk about, and so you immediately try to change the topic, or you're like, I'm so sick of hearing about this. You know, changing the topic, or if it gets close to discussing how we can fix something broken in a relationship, you get defensive.
Right.
That, you know, does not benefit either one of you. And so listening, I think, builds trust. I think if we go talk to a guy and we do man speak, right? You know, sure is hot outside. How about them Saints? And then pretty soon you're like, oh, it's, I like that car. You like cars? Yeah, man, I like cars. Yeah. You know what? Getting kind of old, knees bothering me. And all of a sudden you get closer to something that is actually bothering you. It just takes a little time. I think if that person showed some interest in that, you'd probably leave that conversation going, I've never had that kind of conversation before, you know. So it's good for us to identify that and work on it and, you know, be the other part of that for your spouse. Because if your wife is all emotion and you're no emotion, you can see that that's just not going to work.
Right.
You both have to kind of meet in the middle of that, and you both will be better for it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I think, too, that I have a couple friends that I've had to call out on this, but there are guys that I know that when you're having a conversation with them, you can see they're watching you talk just long enough so they can start talking.
Sure, yeah.
Like, and cool, I'm going to start talking now. I got a story to beat that. So let me go and give you my 17th wisdom teeth removal story.
Prepare to be story topped.
Right. And so, you know, there's something to be said about the idea of, like, when you're listening, that should be what your focus is.
Sure.
You shouldn't be like, all right, I'm going to listen and wait for them to take a breath so I can hop in there with my topic or my fix, or, well, now that you've mentioned how terrible you're doing, I'm doing fantastic. Let me list the reasons why I have a gold encrusted car. So, I mean, listening is an active thing that requires your attention, that you should not be viewing it as, okay, well, I have to listen to you, so you have to listen to me now, kind of thing.
My mom has had three sisters and a brother. And when you get my mom and her three sisters in the same room, growing up, it didn't happen very often, because everybody, to get all four sisters in one room, it's probably, as they got older, a little more difficult.
Yeah.
But I remember when it did happen, it was like four auctioneers all trying to sell the same item or something like that. I asked my uncle, I'm like, how in the world did you ever get a word in growing up? He said, I'm still waiting for that spot. I'm still waiting. And when I get that word, and it's going to be a good word. Oh, my goodness. And so you can kind of see that, you know, when someone's just waiting for you to finish to talk, it's useless to have that conversation,
because
they're not chiming in to probably anything beneficial. They want, here's my opinion about that, instead of, like, following up. I'm a questioner, right? So I learn. I break down those walls with questions. And some people are like, hey, man, stop asking me questions. I don't like sharing stuff. But
this interrogation thing.
Like, oh, how's work going, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to questions.
Yeah.
So that does get them open somewhat about talking about themselves.
Right.
And that eases into maybe a back-and-forth conversation.
Right.
And so, but guys are quite challenging. We see this in the ministry, right?
Yes.
So we have, I don't know, say 32,000 people follow us on Facebook alone.
Yeah.
Years ago, we had 40,000 emails list that we email to weekly. Quite a few members of Uncommon, fans here and there. Engagement, ghost town. It's like, is this thing on? Are you there? You know what I'm saying? So getting guys to take part in something is very challenging. And so I can only imagine if a relationship is like that. that's got to be very difficult to be married to someone that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the sitcom husband, right? That he doesn't really have any stake in any conversation. He's more the gag character or the absentee person. I mean, there's a reason a lot of those things are based off a little bit of reality, because there's such a stigma of, as men, we don't try to put any emotional stock into our wives. And so we just go, I pay the bills. I go to my 9-to-5. I put my time in. I don't really want to hear about your day, honey, or any problems. I'm just going to sit back in the chair, bring the microwave dinner when you're ready kind of thing. So,
well, focus verse, James saw us coming as well, I guess. James 1:19.
Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. I think we approached our relationships that way from a conversational standpoint. It would be much better for all of us.
Yeah.
And so the question is, when was the last time you truly listened to your wife without trying to fix something, or you just listened?
Yeah.
Right? I'm really not going to offer any advice, or I'm just going to ask maybe follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. It could be a good exercise. The next time your wife is talking, ask her something. So, how was your week? And then when she finishes talking, you wait for it, finishes talking, then ask two more follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. How did they make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do different? I think if we started to explore those conversations, I think we would get more out of them.
Yeah, and I definitely think we need to, that's an area that we all can get better at and understand that just because it's emotional doesn't mean it's got to be such a hectic conversation in general.
Yeah, it's not the traveling pants of ya-ya sisterhood here. It's just a conversation with the person that you so-called loved, right?
So right.
Communication should come kind of easy.
Yeah.
So I'll let you marinate on that while we kind of move into our second segment. Sit tight. If you get a chance, check out uncommon.org. See all the content we have around this kind of topic. And so also stay tuned for some Uncommon sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner, delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved.
All right, guys, welcome back to the second part of our podcast about the listening husband.
What'd you say?
You were waiting for that one, weren't you?
My father-in-law used to always say that. He loved that joke.
But so the first part, we talked a lot about the emotional aspect of listening to our wives, making sure we're not trying to fix everything. So on this side of the sponsors, we're talking about more about hearing her heart.
Sure.
About how it's all about presence and not performance, not putting on a good show and nodding vigorously when nothing's happening behind the eyes. I know one of the big things that... you know, the big pitfall for a lot of guys my age is, like, there's so much distraction of, like, phone, TV, news, whatever. Anything that can take that attention span gets in the way of the connection with your wife.
Sure.
And so, you know, when you are not present with your wife in those conversations, you're telling your wife she's optional.
Mm.
Of, like, hey, I have other things in my life that take higher priority to you. Than you, whether you mean that or not, and I hope you don't mean that, but that is what it's coming across of, like, when she's trying to have a conversation with you and you want to go old school, look at the newspaper up kind of thing, and you're not looking her in the eye, you're not conversing that way, you're saying everything else kind of takes priority over you. You're going to take the back seat for this conversation.
So, I mean, since you said old school, I'll take you back to when I had hair. So when I was growing up, the family TV was this massive, like, dresser size console, and I was the remote to change channel, and watching TV took place there on a really out of focus, hot tubed TV, right? And then when you went into your room or you went elsewhere, TV did not follow you. Mm. That entertainment did not follow you there. Now, let's bring it back to the front here. You've been in a room. Hey, let's get together and watch a movie. Movie starts. Both of you are not only watching the movie, but you're on their phones too.
Mm-hmm. I'm multitasking.
Right. I'm listening to a book, I'm checking my social, and I'm watching the TV. We're so crowded that while the picture was out of focus back then, there was less stimulation.
Yeah.
TV actually went off the air.
Yeah.
So after the Honeymooners, remember I'm taking you way back, black and white, they would play the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
And then it would go to that kind of test screen signal with like boop, right? Everybody that's under 30 is like, what is he talking about? They turned the TV off. They didn't do 24-hour programming, right? So you can kind of see that with connectivity and stimulation, we have grown to a point where we can't focus on any particular thing.
Yeah,
we always talk about in our business, 7-second attention span.
Yeah.
So maybe a good test this week is like get in the room that you watch TV. You have like 4 TV screens in some fashion. Mm-hmm. Turn them all off. Put on some music in the background and sit and talk for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to feel like the weirdest thing you've ever done, but trust me, it'll change your perspective of how much we are distracted by things.
Sure. I mean, the running joke of, well, I'm going to go turn off my big screen thing to go look at this tiny screen thing. I need to take a break from screen, so I'm going to go look at my tiny screen now.
Right.
I mean, I think with so much vying for our attention, I think it's easy to feel like you're unintentionally putting your wife in a position of like, well, I see you all the time. I really want to be stimulated because this is easier than having an in-depth conversation with you. And
I can bypass the things that are boring to me
and
tune into the things I'm interested in.
Yeah. And there's so much from, you know, TikTok, YouTube, TV, news, whatever your poison, pick it, that it really, I think if you were to turn off all your devices and sit down and have a conversation with your wife and be intentional, you know, it feels so out of place.
People probably call 911. You're like, I've done something.
Something is wrong.
Well, you know, I think now internet has totally become as important as electricity.
Mm.
People lose their internet, they lose their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only does it take down your TV, because it's streaming, your phone, everything about it, they don't know what to do with themselves, which was always the case with the COVID years, being at home. You take away someone's internet, they turn into cavemen like 5 minutes after that, like, oh, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You know, what if we kind of move beyond the normal questions of how was your day?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe talk about, well, these are going to sound kind of touchy-feely here, but what made you feel appreciated this week? Mm. Or, you know, make it your own. You know, what can we do different this week? What new trend can we start this week by doing something together?
Yeah.
Maybe go on evening walks because the weather's getting nicer again. What's been stressing you out this week? I've noticed that you're tossing and turning at night, you're up early, biting your fingernails, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Ask some questions that got some depth to it, and then be prepared for that answer.
Yeah.
If you want hallway questions, how you doing? I don't really care. Just moving on through the hallway, right? So finding a way to communicate with each other at a deeper level, I think, would be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, and I think it truly makes your relationship stronger when you're willing to have those deeper conversations. And I see it often with non-believer couples. They don't tend to have those deeper conversations.
Sure.
I mean, I know a couple that they're not believers, and when they got married, it was hellfire. They both came into that conversation. Neither one was listening to the other. They're like, I got my way to do this, and you are frustrating me, and you're not listening. And then they'd be like, well, you're doing the exact same thing to me, kind of thing. And, you know, we have this perfect example of what we should be doing with slow to speak, you know, quick to listen.
Sure.
And we are called to do that for our wives, and yet we struggle so much with it. Mm. But I think most of that just because we don't put it to practice.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you're going to go from avoiding emotional conversations to having crazy in-depth conversations with your wife right off the bat.
No.
This is a get to know how that other person communicates. I mean, hopefully at this point you know how that other person communicates, but this may be new ground for you.
And I would say that if you don't know where to start, date night. Mm. Go on a date night once a week. Dan and I go every Wednesday. And sometimes when life gets a little bit too busy, we're like, okay, we're not talking about family. Mm. We're not talking about work. Go.
Yeah.
And we talk about something else.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I'd ask her, and her and I have been together for, we've been married 35 plus years, dated 6 plus years before that. We met in the 5th grade. She's been stalking me for a long time, apparently. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But one day I asked her, maybe a year or two ago, I said, what don't I know about you?
Mm.
So one thing, that one dream, aspiration, whatever, I don't know about you. And she's like, holy cow, let's see. You know, I took ballet in like 5th grade or something like that. Mm. You know, start talking about things that maybe I could not share because it's kind of inconsequential. But, I mean, you know, it's those type moments that lead to discovery.
Mm.
And that builds relationships, right? And
that
makes for a better marriage or friendship or whatever. And so Proverbs 25 says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out.
Mm.
We all know people that seem very shallow, that they don't have anything. Like there's just nothing going on. Very one-dimensional. And then all of a sudden, you ask a question, and you're like, I didn't know that you played country music in college. You never talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you and Noah were sitting there talking to Pops one day, and he started talking about his years in the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
And what did we say?
We said, you never talk about this. Because he was talking about some tour he had done
in Hawaii
when the boats and everything like that, and we were talking about it, and I think that was the first time, and we were here when that happened, when he mentioned anything of significance of that.
Yeah.
Because it was always like, yeah, I was in the Coast Guard, and then moved on kind of thing.
Sure.
And I always remember going, so where was this information like a decade ago when we were talking about this? And you can tell, like, it's some people just don't want to get that information out, and it's really hard to kind of prime that pump to talk about anything. I mean, I am in the firm belief Heather's trying to pull pranks on me at this point. I've known her for over 7 years now.
Right.
And recently we've gotten into record stuff. And so we've been talking about music a lot more in the house. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm a huge Imagine Dragons fan. And I'm like, since when? You have never listened to Imagine Dragons as long as I've known you. You're straight up lying to me, aren't
you? Right,
right. And so it's stuff like that if you make it an environment that is not conducive to having conversations like this and have spark of the moments like, I didn't know you were into Imagine Dragons. Let's go get some Imagine Dragons gear.
Right.
That if your wife goes, well, he doesn't listen to me when I talk about the big stuff of how my day is or how stressed out I am, why would I even talk about the other stuff in my life?
Right. So everybody knows probably by now that we just got back into vinyl last October. And we've been loving every second of it, right? And so, Mom, she just likes what I like. You know, because she wears hearing aids. She'll let me hear a lot of the words. Mm-hmm. She likes the music, the beat, whatever kind of thing.
She likes the Christian rap I crank because it has a lot of, like, thuds to it.
Right, right. But there are some. Like, she loves Journey.
Mm.
So, early in the year, this year, we were just really busy. She was kind of stressed out about some stuff. So, I bought her the Journey Greatest Hits double LP. The look on her face, holy cow. And so just recently, for Mother's Day, you bought her.
That was the Lauren Daigle.
Lauren Daigle Deluxe LPs. I think Noah bought her a Carrie Underwood piece. And boy, she was all smiles. We've already listened to them twice each already. But, you know, this is something we didn't do until this past year. I grew up on vinyl, but, you know, at a large chunk, digital came around and cassettes and CDs and streaming and all that. But to get back into this, this is a thing that, you know, all of us do to some degree. But there's times when mom's like, hey, let's go to a record store this weekend. I'm like, giddy up. And so it's just something that we kind of do. And she goes and pulls out all of her, the ones. What do you think about these? Like, we have that one. Mm. You don't want that one. I get real picky. You know?
Jimmy so, with spoons? I don't think so. Yeah, I'm saying, that's crazy. Brother Rippertide is kind of weird.
But, you know, finding something new could be a great way to introduce a conversation.
Yeah, I think there are definitely things that you can do to set yourself up for success when it comes to having emotional conversations.
Sure.
And that is built from the ground up with, it's going to sound weird, spending time with your wife.
What the?
Doing things that she likes, you like, you both like kind of thing. And it just takes time. I mean, it's setting yourself up for success with putting in the groundwork so that when it comes time for emotional conversations, that your wife can look at you and go, yeah, I know he's going to take this seriously and hear my heart in this conversation. Because what you don't want to do, and I know many guys who've over the years, like, I don't want to hear my wife talk this much to me. But you never want your wife to go so silent to you that you're like passing each other in the house like ghosts, like in a different wing, or like, oh, I don't even hear the other person kind of thing, or, oh, I didn't know you were home today. Like, that's never what you want to happen kind of thing. And that happens by being closed off and not having emotional conversations.
I know a couple that I think buying a large multi-bedroom house has probably saved their marriage because you get them in the same room together and you're like, how long you guys been married? Oh, that's right. You have a lot of bedrooms. Hide much? Yeah, I got you. Okay.
This is my bedroom. This is hers.
Right. How you doing out there? All right. Let me know when dinner is.
I put a line through the house. You stay on your side. Right. I'll stay on my side.
Right. Well, our focus verse here is 1 Peter 3:7.
Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
You know, we haven't really talked about this part of it, but what if I told you your job was to lead someone in your house to Christ? Mm. How in the world do you think you're going to have that kind of conversation, that's an eternal conversation, if you can't get through a day conversation?
Right.
Just a work week conversation.
Because we are called to be the spiritual leaders of our household.
Correct.
And how, I mean, we're talking about husbands and wives right now, but when your kids look at your relationship, do they see the love of Christ?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, daddy doesn't really talk to mom. Or when mom's talking to dad, he kind of turns the TV up a little bit to drown her out.
Sure.
I mean, all of this communicates to loved ones of kids, to family and friends, of how you speak about your wife to other people, how you talk to each other in front of others. I mean, we are called to be spiritual leaders of our household, and that comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of burden on our part that we should take very seriously.
Sure, these things ripple in ways that we may not fully understand. The kind of marriage you have could impact your children's view on marriage and say, you know what? I've seen my parents, how distant they are with each other, how they talk to each other. You know what? I don't want to do that. Let's just move in together and we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
You know, so you may not have never intended that, thinking that, oh, we just play fight or whatever kind of thing. It's a little more than that. 10 years, 20 years into your marriage, and you're still talking to each other like, I don't know, two politicians going at it, you know, for a debate. Really weird.
Yeah, I mean, anyone looking at your relationship should never question whether or not you love your wife.
Correct.
And I've seen many times where I look at a husband and go, do you even like your wife, let alone love?
Ooh, boy.
Because the way you're talking, the way you're leading spiritually, is a disaster. So that's definitely something to keep in mind as we talk about communication with your wife and understand the gravity of this is not just about having deep emotional conversations, but about the call that we are called by God to be that for our house and be the spiritual leader and communicate with his love and grace.
We're not trying to bag on guys. This is a men's ministry, so we're focused on that. Mm-hmm. Ladies, you're not, you know, out of the woods with this. If you're bad at communication, you need to fix it as well.
Right.
There's a bunch of women's ministries out there that could help with this, because that couple that I'm thinking of, the wife is the problem, is the crux of that. So it's not just like, well, if the guys fix their way, that marriage is perfect. No, that's that's half of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all we're saying here. So.
Yeah, I mean, always takes two to tango.
Correct. So our reflection question at the end here is, what is one change you can make this week to listen more closely to your wife? So if you get a chance, check out uncommon.org. If you don't know, there's a membership that we offer that gets access to all of our content. So if you're not a member, you have access to all of our blog and devotionals. But if you are a member, you get that and then everything else we produce around these kind of topics. Yep. It's not just on this topic, but this is one of many things we discuss and develop on. So, that being said, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.
Amen.